Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang sang dhammang sangham namassami. Just trying to be still and notice the different things passing through, arising and ceasing in the mind. It's a very peaceful, tranquilizing, settling thing to do. Finding that quiet space just to hear a sound arise and have its life and pass away. Or noticing a visual experience arising, having its moment passing away. Any kind of sense contact. Just trying to stay in the center of awareness and notice the activity all around us. There's that saying from Ajahn Chah that has been up on our trail for so many years now, written, painted on that stump. I can't remember the whole thing, but essentially everything we need to know we can learn from nature. And it started out many years ago as a fresh new painting with that phrase on a stump, and it's been sitting there for many, many years, going through cycles of cold and rain and occasionally some snow and blistering heat, and it's been sitting there going through its very slow but inevitable change, and now it's, keep on thinking, it's on its last legs, but still in bits and pieces, it's still partially there, but on its way, following the laws of nature. And that aspect of change is, as Ajahn Chah says, it's so clearly evident in the natural world around us, and you know, that's what we have the opportunity to really observe that, to investigate that, and to see that just as we're living our daily lives out here in the forest, because it's so evident. Just to take in the constantly, but slowly, sometimes quickly, other times shifting nature of the world, the natural world around us. It's right here, and we're living in it and part of it, and actually we are it as well. So just to really shift one's consciousness, one's attention to really noticing that, bringing it to the fore. You know, the forces of nature, they have their own laws, their own patterns. Hard to predict, really. We try to predict them, trying to be part of them, trying to suss them out, try to adapt to them, control them, whatever we do as human beings. Nature, the natural forces just keep following their own rules, which are sometimes slightly understandable and many times pretty inexplicable, but always involve shifting and moving and changing. And thinking about the weather patterns, we're still very, very dry. We haven't had very much rain at all for a long time. And driving out Highway 20 and looking at Lake Mendocino, it's down to what looks like a little mud puddle almost from the road. It's easy to say, oh, you know, it shouldn't be like this. We really need rain. It's got to rain. It's mid-November. Mid-November is the time when the rains really start to come. That's what's supposed to happen. That's the patterns that we see, you know, year after year. In November, that means rain. December is our rainiest month. It says so on the records. But here we are entering into December and not much is happening. If you believe the weather forecast, not much is going to be happening anytime soon. But nature is doing what it's doing for whatever reasons it's doing. It's changing. The weather patterns change. Predictability is not always there. We try and ensure all sorts of safeguards against natural disasters and weather patterns and things like that. We have the fire authorities want us to, you know, maximize our security against damage from wildfires, which are not uncommon to this part of the country. And there's lots of very strong rules and regulations about buildings and access and clearances and all sorts of things that, to some extent, you know, we have to follow if we want to be in accordance with the authorities, and even if it goes against some of our personal preferences. Earthquake standards, you know, we've got a lot of cement and metal rebar in a lot of our buildings here to ensure against nature's ways when it comes to earthquakes. So a lot of our lives as human beings, particularly in a fairly regulated environment, is trying to ensure against risk. And that's almost an accepted given in these days and times, is trying to keep as minimal the level of risk against nature and its vicissitudes, its changes, to try and guarantee some level of security and predictability and stability in a world of constant change. See that in the ways that we look at our own physical body too, you know, the things we try and do to ensure a sense of stability, warding off diseases, you know, special diets and exercises and treatments and ways of living in the world to protect our bodies from change, essentially. When we're confronted with, you know, the inevitable changes that happen, we look for some security and predictability. We, in the information, say that we're wanting to hear, wanting to receive. You know, maybe there's some bad news and we don't want to hear it. You know, that's our default option. It is, okay, well, somebody's trying to tell me that things are changing. My body is getting ill and I don't want it to. I don't want to hear it. Just tell me the good things. Don't want to hear the bad things. Denial. It's a strong defense mechanism. Don't tell me about it. I don't want to know it. I want things to be the same. Or, you know, tell me the worst. I just want to know the worst. I'll prepare myself for the worst. And, that way, you know, I'll be sure to know what's going to, you know, possibly happen. All the different kinds of insurance there are out in the world. And you think about the whole realm of insurance, you know, health insurance and life insurance and disability insurance and car insurance and fire insurance, fire protection insurance, earthquake insurance, liability insurance, malpractice insurance. It seems like just about everything one can experience in the world, you can buy some insurance to protect yourself in some way. Offer ourselves that sense of security. The only kind of insurance I don't think I've seen yet is in an insurance policy that covers all the times when the insurance companies are going to go broke and not be able to pay up their insurance. That'll probably come too. But why do we do this? It's because we just fundamentally don't want to accept the law of change, of shifting. It's uncomfortable just to live with ambiguity. We really crave security and predictability. How hard is it to just honestly say, I don't know? It's not usually like somebody comes to us with a question or a problem or something confusing or something difficult or something around a difficulty with something that's changing or shifting or moving and looking for an answer. And, you know, how often do we feel comfortable just sitting there with that, either in ourselves or somebody else, and just saying, gosh, I don't know. I really don't know. You know, we seek to offer some reassurance or something solid or something predictable, for better or for worse. Anything other than, gosh, you know, I just don't know. But we just keep needing to look around us and ask ourselves, see, really, well, what is stable? Is there anything that's in the realm of nature, you know, including our bodies and our minds? Is there anything that's that really is stable and unchanging? Man, we keep on trying to find in different ways, but it's not there to be found. We keep trying to find stability in a world that's inherently unstable. This is dukkha, unsatisfactory. And we know that, we hear that, we, you know, reflect on it over and over again, but we don't really let it sink in. But when you really think about it, you know, there's the basis for it is fear and anxiety. It's again, it's wanting that anything to show me that the world is a friendly, safe, predictable, secure, unchanging place where, you know, I have my unchanging body, my unchanging experience, my unchanging relationships, my stable world of me in a stable, happy kind of, you know, heavenly realm that goes on forever. That's kind of the, even though we all know that that's not, you know, possible at some level, that's kind of how we operate sometimes, most of the time. We act as if, even though we don't really believe it, we act as if that's something that can be expected or achieved. In so many ways we do that. And in the, you know, just saying the phrase or considering the, you know, when you really are confronted with something that is undefinable or shifting or changing, and you are saying to yourself, I don't know, you know, how much of the time is that accompanied with a level of anxiety and fear, because you feel like you're in doubt or not sure what to do or how to react or how to move. There are times too when you use that answer to yourself, I don't know. And if you do it with a sense of clarity and honesty, and a real, a real clear appraisal of the situations that you're in, and really are able to say with utmost truth to yourself, I don't know. That has a whole different quality than the I don't know what to do, I don't know, the doubtful, questioning, anxious mind. The I don't know of, this is the truth. This is the way it is. I really don't know. There's relief in that. There's freedom in that. There's peace that follows that kind of sense of acknowledgement of unpredictability. And that's a point where you can have a little bit of an experience of letting go into peace, acknowledging the truth of uncertainty. Not for sure, as Ajahn Chah would say, not sure. Not just our bodies and physical nature around us, but mental states. We like to have this illusion of continuity, of a sense of, you know, it's the basis for the sense of self, essentially. Continuity, a sense of continuity that is under our control. That's who we like to think we are. But looking clearly again at the different aspects of mind and experience, internal experience, and just noticing the fleeting nature of those experiences, how quickly pleasant feeling turns to unpleasant, or unpleasant feeling turns to pleasant feeling, or how quickly that happens from one moment to the next, and however long anything might last, it doesn't sustain itself forever. Fleeting thoughts. Sometimes it's really hard to pin a train of thought down for more than a second or two, no matter how much we try. In moods and emotions, how real they seem, how solid, how permanent, how stable and unchanging, how changeable they really are when you sit down and you're caught up in an obsession or a mood or a interaction with somebody in your mind, a remembered conversation, how real and permanent that seems right here in this moment. And then how quickly that can change when something else comes along its way. So just even recollecting, like a couple of hours ago, what were you doing? Where is that now? It's gone. It's just a memory that can be conjured up. The experience right now seems so fixed and real and steady, but very quickly it's gone as well. We're on to a new moment of something that seems very fixed and stable and clear. So we lose the perspective of change. I always find it's a real useful reflection, real useful experience to bring me, you know, bring me in more to the present of when I find myself, you know, lost in the past, memory, reliving some situation or projecting into the future in some way, to just step back to a reasonable distance in the past and just say, well, where is that now? What happened to that? What happened to that issue that was so important that I spent so much time trying to figure out or work on or deal with or contend with? Or, you know, where did that go? You know, that person who was, you know, so difficult to be with, you know, where did that interaction go? What is it now? And then, you know, if only back then I could have seen where I'm at now with it. It's this thing of the past. It's just a memory. Maybe I wouldn't have held on to it so tightly at the time. So there's a lot of peace and freedom that can come from just pulling ourselves back and really learning to reflect on changeability, the comings and goings of the mind, and seeing how that wish and that craving for stability is really a noose around our necks and controls so much of what we do, always looking to have a calendar charted out in front of us that tells us exactly what's going to happen, what's going to be coming our way, so that we don't get surprised by anything. How painful that is to live life like that. Just remembering the phrase that comes up over and over again in our funeral chanting and the reflections on Anicca, how all compounded things are inconstant. Their nature is to arise and pass away. They disband as they are arising. That's kind of my little favorite nugget of contemplation these days, is kind of a newly discovered way of that line being translated, bringing it right into the present moment, not just a reflection of things over a period of time, but just noticing the world, the phenomena, the experience right here and right now as it arises. And inherent in this moment as it's arising, it's also disbanding. Anything that arises in our experience, that arises from other conditions, causes, right at the same moment that it's coming into being and into existence, it's passing away. This is nature. Everything we need to know, we can learn from nature if we just pay attention, set aside the preoccupations of seeking gratification or running away from painful situations, and just tune in to what the current experience is. which is the whole goal, the whole purpose of meditation practice, to still, to slow down, to be able to see things in their true nature. And in their total stilling is bliss, the last line of that verse. In their total stilling is bliss. As conditions arise and cease, not attaching, not going after them, letting them go. That's where the peace and the freedom is. So we have the opportunity in our practice to really not just kind of consider that or reflect on that as an intellectual exercise or as a philosophical standpoint or as kind of a neat little, beautiful phrase, but to really actually practice that, bring that into the moment of meditation, watching the mind, watching the body, watching the various feelings, watching the various thoughts, moods, holding that center of stillness and seeing it arise, seeing it maintain, seeing it pass away. This sensory experience, this mental experience, this thought, this feeling, staying with it right in the moment and watching asking yourself, what is its true nature? Looking at it from that viewpoint. Not getting caught in the train of proliferation or opinions or views or comments that surround it. But just honing in on the Dhamma aspect, the moment of arising and passing away. And that involves letting go, putting it down, not pursuing it, not avoiding it, but just holding a space of awareness, of attention. It's the fundamental nature of the heart, of the citta, is this fundamental attribute is awareness, knowing. All the rest that comes through the mind are the mind objects. All the mind objects, thoughts, feelings, emotions, memories, everything, perceptions, those have a certain tone to them. The mind picks them up. If the mind holds on to it, then the mind takes on that tone, takes on that quality, and that all of a sudden is reality. If the mind can just stay in this process of holding it in attention but not grasping, then there's that solidification, that gelling of experience into something that seems so real and so solid, that relaxes. That kind of craving or attachment comes hand in hand with that sense of stability and permanence. We move towards something to create it into a solid, fixed reality with an unchanging nature. The kind of ironic thing is that we do that from moment to moment to moment, and that's what we're tuning into as solidity and reality, is that chain of continuity that we link all of these events together with. That's what we come to take refuge in, that sense of continuity. But that's just a changing perception as well. And the release from the dukkha is in the letting go of that grasping onto that experience. So over and over again, the task is just to put it down, let it go, see it clearly, and then just let it pass. Release the grip. They disband as they are arising. And in their total stilling is bliss. You can feel that, experience that. Acknowledge the truth of that. And enjoy the lightness and the clarity and the sense of ease of mind, the peace of mind that comes when we catch little glimpses of it. So I think I'll leave it there for this evening's reflection.